Before your meditation this morning, I couldn't resist doing this in the current climate, politically and in the world. This is from excerpts from an article by John Carroll, the columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. This article appeared in 2005. And I should say, because he uses this word, the word jihad is misunderstood by people in the West. It's an Arabic word. It's usually translated erroneously as holy war. But what it really means is, in Arabic, is struggle or striving. So keep that in mind. He calls this the Unitarian Jihad. Carol. And by the way, I happen to know Carol's particular connection. Nobody could write this who didn't have a connection to our Unitarian Universalist movement. And his is through his mother-in-law, whom I met when we were both ministerial settlement representatives in our respective districts. So here's John Carroll. The following is the first communique from a group calling itself Unitarian Jihad. It was sent to me at the Chronicle via an anonymous spam remailer. Greetings to the imprisoned citizens of the United States. We are Unitarian Jihad. There is only one God, unless there is more than one God. The vote of our God subcommittee is 10 to 8 in favor of one God, with two abstentions. Brother Flaming Sword of Moderation noted the possibility of there being no God at all, and his objection was noted with love by the secretary. Greetings to the imprisoned citizens of the United States. Too long has your attention been waylaid by the bright baubles of extremist thought. Too long have fundamentalist yahoos of all religions, except Buddhism, 14 to 5 vote, no abstentions, fundamentalism subcommittee, make your head hurt. Too long have you been buffeted by angry people who think that God talks to them. You have a right to your moderation. You have the power to be calm. People of the United States, why is everyone yelling at you? Whatever happened to, you know, everything? Why is the news dominated by nutballs saying that the Ten Commandments have to be tattooed inside the eyelids of every American, or that Allah has told them to kill Americans in order to rid the world of Satan, or that Yahweh has instructed them to go wherever they feel like, or that Shiva thinks bombing mosques is a great idea? Sister Immaculate Dagger of Peace notes for the record that we mean no disrespect to Jews, Muslims, Christians, or Hindus. Referred back to the Committee of the Whole for further discussion. We are Unitarian Jihad. We are everywhere. We have not been born again, nor have we sworn a blood oath. We do not think that God cares what we read, what we eat, or whom we sleep with. Beware. Unless you people shut up and begin acting like grown-ups with brains enough to understand the difference between political belief and personal faith, the Unitarian Jihad will begin a series of terrorist-like actions. We will take over television studios, kidnap so-called commentators, and broadcast calm, well-reasoned discussions on the issues of the day. We will not try for balance by hiring fruitcakes. We will not try for balance by hiring ideologues who have carefully thought through. We will try for balance by hiring non-ideologues who have carefully thought through the issues. We are Unitarian Jihad. We will appear in public places and require people to shake hands with each other. Sister Hand Grenade of Love suggested that we institute a terror regime of mandatory hugging, but her motion was not formally introduced because of lack of a quorum. We will require all lobbyists, spokesmen, and campaign managers to dress like trout in public. Televangelists will be forced to take jobs as Xerox or repair specialists. Demagogues of all stripes will be required to read Proust out loud in prisons. We are Unitarian Jihad. Our motto is, sincerity is not enough. We have heard from enough sincere people to last a lifetime already. Just because you believe it's true doesn't make it true. Just because your motives are pure doesn't mean you are not doing harm. Get a dog or comfort someone in a nursing home or just feed the birds in the park. Play basketball. Lighten up. The world is not out to get you, except in the sense that the world is out to get everyone. Brother Gatlin Gunn of Patience notes that he's pretty sure the world is out to get him because everyone laughs when he says he is a Unitarian. There were murmurs of assent around the room, and someone suggested that we buy some Congress members and really stick it to the Baptists. But this was deemed against revolutionary principles, and Brother Gatlin Gunn of Patience was remanded to the Sunday Flowers and Banners Committee. People of the United States, we are Unitarian Jihad. We can strike without warning. Pockets of reasonableness and harmony will appear as if from nowhere. Nice people will run the government again. There will be coffee and cookies in the Gandhi room after the revolution. John Carroll took my words away. I could pretty much fold up my sermon and go now. He told us why the world needs Unitarian Universalists. But I have a few words to say. 33 years ago, when I was a new minister in Duluth, Minnesota, it was more than 33. I did my math wrong. It's got to be 38 years ago, 39. I hate to tell you how long. It's shocking. Well, I remember all these years later a dream that I had, which had the feeling of being a nightmare. In the dream, I was a Lutheran minister preaching to my congregation, but I was aware that I was preaching a doctrine that could be considered heresy within that fold. So I tried to couch my sermon in language that would not betray me as a heretic, but would also be true to what I actually believed. That was a challenge. I was also aware that there were some conservative Lutheran church officials who were standing in the back of the sanctuary, listening to my every word for signs of heretical preaching. And I was literally jostled awake, sweating with fear. But I soon remembered through my sleep-clogged days, and with a sense of great relief, that I'm not a Lutheran minister. I am a Unitarian Universalist minister. Whew. Now, this is not to disparage conservative Lutherans. They have something of value for those who are a part of their fold and believe as they do. But for me, being trapped in a tradition whose beliefs I could not adopt and fearing for my career and livelihood, that was very, very uncomfortable. Well, we often look to events in our lives to see what it is that prompts our dreams. And I trace mine back to the fact that some of my Christian seminary friends from more liberal Christian traditions, more liberal than conservative Lutheranism, that they had been talking to me just a year before when they were still in seminary with me about preparing for their interviews with the governing bodies of their respective faiths, their liberal faiths. They all had unorthodox, what they call Christologies, their sense of the nature of Jesus. And they were wondering how they could express those Christologies that they held so that they wouldn't be too, or wouldn't sound too heretical to the people who were judging them. So that's where that dream came from. Well, I was so relieved after that chilling dream to be back in my waking reality as a minister in a tradition in which there is freedom of the pulpit and freedom of individual belief. These freedoms are precious to us. In our Unitarian Universalist tradition, ministers and others who speak from our pulpits are free to speak their minds on theological questions or issues of the day. And listeners, members of the congregation, are free to accept or reject what they hear, free to say out loud what they in their hearts believe without fear of ostracism, censure, or excommunication. As Francis David, leader of the early Transylvanian Unitarians and martyr to the cause of religious freedom, said over 400 years ago, "In this world, there have always been many opinions about faith and salvation, but you need not believe alike to love alike." For me, our theological diversity makes our discussions and our interactions lively and interesting. On a given Sunday right here, you may be sitting next to a liberal Unitarian Universalist Christian who's sitting beside a Unitarian Universalist pagan, and in front of you is a practitioner of Zen Buddhism, while behind you is an atheist, and on your other side may be a liberal Jew. We're all here. Behold, these are your Unitarian Universalist friends. We embrace them all, and we try to design services and programs that, in one way or another, speak to all of us. It can be a challenge at times, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Now, we don't need a religious community to be the theological mavericks and individualists that we are. In fact, people outside of our free faith often wonder how we can be a religious community at all, since we don't have a creed or a theological affirmation that binds us all together. But we are bound together in our religious communities. We come together to meet with those who, like ourselves, value the open quest for truth and meaning. We come to explore questions of belief without the restraint of dogma. Like other religious groups, we join together to celebrate life's joys and support each other through life's trials and sorrows. But unlike most of them, our religious diversity is something we also celebrate and we cherish. Some of you are old enough here, many, who remember Jules Pfeiffer, the cartoonist. I want to evoke one of his cartoons. It pictures a sad-looking man who was saying, in the first frame, "In the old days, I was with this group that really had the word. I fought like hell for them. But then this other group came along and showed me that the word of my group was shallow and ineffectual. They had a better word. So I quit the first group and joined up with those others. I fought like hell for them. But then someone came along and proved to me that there was no word, that what I should do is go off by myself as an individual and grow. So I quit the second group. Now," in the last frame, he says, "now what I do is sit by myself all day and grow." And then the poor man moans, "I sure wish there were some others who felt the same way I do." Too bad he had never heard of Unitarian Universalism. We too are not sure about the word. Rather, we hear and consider many words, many expressions of truth. The lonely cartoon character would grow a lot more in a community like ours than he would all by himself. To say that we have no creed is not to say, of course, that we have no principles, no values. The values we affirm are spelled out in the seven principles of the UUA, adopted at a general assembly of our association as long as 31 years ago. They were modified once since then, but not the seven principles, but the sources. They are on the back of every order of service. You probably see them so often you forget they're there. Every order of service we issue. Today, they're also on the front in a heart, but they're hard to read. And I would like to ask you, just as a reminder to all of us, of what it is we represent, what our principles are. I would like to ask you to read them with me. Not the whole section there, but just the first section that includes the seven principles, not the sources part. So it starts, we, the members, congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another, and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. That is who we are. So how do you here at Star King Unitarian Universalist Church, how do you live out these values in your life as a congregation? Well, you do it in many, many different ways. You affirm the inherent worth and dignity of all persons, for instance, by welcoming all who enter your doors, regardless of race, class, gender, physical ability, sexual orientation, and gender identity. And you do it by celebrating your great diversity of points of view and beliefs, and through having a welcoming congregation that opens its doors with love to people in the GLBTQ community, and through the work of the Anti-Racism Multicultural Committee, which promotes an understanding of and appreciation for the wonderful range of human diversity, and the Hospitality and Membership Committee, which affirms the worth and dignity of all persons as they join, by finding out what they are passionate about and how they would like to serve and be served, and helping them to plug into ongoing groups and activities. You affirm justice, equity, and compassion in human relations in the world at large through the work of various social concerns efforts that have taken place through this congregation over the years. The Social Justice, Peace and Justice Committee. Right, I keep changing that.
Both.
Okay, look right at Frank for that. The Social Justice or Peace and Justice Committee, there have been different titles. There's the Green Sanctuary Committee, and there is the Anti-Racism Multicultural Committee. And there are the organizations that this congregation supports and is a part of that are listed on the front of the Order of Service. All of these are a part of who we are as well. And we join with other like-minded souls in these efforts. You affirm compassion in human relations within the congregation through the Pastoral Committee, Pastoral Care Committee, and through individual connections and networks of caring that happen spontaneously. And through that process, you serve members and friends when they need support through difficult times. It's a very important part of what is done here. You offer encouragement to spiritual growth and affirm a free and responsible search for truth and meaning in many ways, through Sunday morning worship, through the religious education program for children, and through the adult religious education classes, workshops, and small groups that take place here. You support the use of conscience and the democratic process in the very way you operate. The Board of Trustees is elected by the congregation. The committee council meets quarterly to share ideas and work together as committees. Congregational meetings provide for electing leaders, voting on the budget, on bylaws, and on other issues of importance to your life as a congregation, And very important right now, you support the democratic process by voting as a congregation to call a minister, which you will be doing in less than 2 months from now. A vote to call, whether to call the candidate that will be presented to you as your minister. Only a congregation can ordain or call a minister in our tradition. We have no bishop or hierarchical structure to accomplish this. The power of ordination and call of ministers rests with the members of each of our congregations. You affirm the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all when you raise money, for instance, for the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee through the Guest at Your Table and other programs, and through Sunday services and events that focus on issues of national and international importance, and through advocacy of issues affecting the human community, and through this congregation's support of organizations like the Unitarian Universalist Justice Ministry of California. And in this congregation, you affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence by having programs and Sunday services on ecological awareness, by promoting recycling, and by holding an Earth Fair annually for the congregation and community, which is coming up next month. Finally, although having fun in community is not listed as an official Unitarian Universalist principle, probably should be, it is a value to us Unitarian Universalists, and we live it out by offering opportunities in our congregations to enjoy one another's company and build community. Here, there are periodic meals together, like the fabulous meal last night. And there are many groups and contexts, smaller groups, that allow for people to get to know one another better and to interact and to enjoy each other's company, from the choir to the small group ministry program to the various classes and other opportunities we offer. Even fundraisers are fun and community building, like the auction, which has been an every other year event, but's now in the budget to be every year, at least to be to have another one this coming fiscal year, even though there was one in this past fiscal year that's waning quickly. Because it raises money, and that's why it's in the budget to help us meet our goals, but it's also a community building activity that is enjoyable, fun to cooperate together in this effort. In our congregations, we try to live out our Unitarian Universalist values, to make them concrete in these and so many other ways. But what about your dreams and your hopes as a congregation? Well, having worked with you in a variety of ways during this interim period between settled ministers, I am confident that I speak for many of you here when I say that your hope is that this congregation will continue to thrive as it has been doing, and that its programs and its services to its membership and to the larger community will continue to grow to meet the new needs and challenges of this and future generations. The congregation, of course, does not exist to raise money. That's really not what it's about. Yet without money, it will cease to exist. The Pledge Drive co-chairs, Diane Meyerson and Stephanie Smith, and the Finance Committee members and the board members are hoping that all of you who can will increase your support by at least 10 and hopefully 15% over last year. That is the amount that it will take to continue to offer what's offered here, and the 15% would even allow for a choir director to be taken on as part of the staff. This is what it takes, this kind of commitment, to keep all of these good things going so that you can fund your collective dream of a strong religious body which offers spiritual support, intellectual challenge, solace, in times of need and joyful celebration of life to all who come here. A congregation that works to try to carry out its principles of freedom of belief and social justice, which strives to reverse the forces of violence, bigotry, and irrationality in the world, which educates children in these basic principles, and which offers you caring companions for your life journeys. I believe that the world needs people who support the kind of values that we Unitarian Universalists espouse. And certainly, if nothing else, we need each other. The theme for this year's canvas is Our Founders' Dreams, Our Children's Future. And that's a very apt title for it in a transitional time as we've been in for the past year and a half plus. Our Founders' Dreams, Our Children's Future. Last church year, we celebrated 60 years as a congregation, looking to the past. And we have been looking to the past in other ways and looking to the trends that create the present and will create the future. And we have had a visioning workshop recently looking at the future and making some specific goals. And, of course, the Ministerial Search Committee is looking very much to your future, to your next era with your new minister. And here you stand in the present moment with that future in your hands. Why not top last year and make this year the most successful pledge drive ever? You can do it. And I can't resist once again, before we take the offering, to offer this little story, which actually circulated on the internet a number of years ago, at least among ministers' chat groups, long before Donald Trump engaged in his current pursuits. Here's the story. One day, a $1 bill and a $100 bill got folded together and began talking, as currency is apt to do, talking about their experiences and adventures in life. The $100 bill began to brag. "I've had a great life," it said. "I've been to all the big hotels, casinos, and cruises. Donald Trump himself used me at his casino. I've been in the wallets of Fortune 500 board members. I've flown from one end of the country to the other. I've even been in the wallets of two presidents of the United States." In awe, the dollar humbly responded, "Gee whiz, nothing like that has ever happened to me. For me, it's been the usual, you know, church, church, church."